This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I want to state the fact is that Bassinet does not have any links to any political parties, does not have any links to Zahid Hamidi or his family. We work with the government of the day.
Ismail Muhammad Noor has had to repeat this clarification more times than he would like, and he's about to do it again on Open for Business. Hey there, I'm Audrey Raj, and on the show today we have cross-border migration solutions provider Bassinet. Now, Bassinet was founded to revolutionize Malaysia's complex migrant workers management system. And while its efforts has received widespread recognition and multiple awards, Bassinet is still trying to shake off bad press and its toll on the company's bottom line. We speak to CEO Ismail Muhammad Noor about their tumultuous year and how Bassinet hopes to keep the focus centered on a healthy and productive national workforce.
Thank you very much, Audrey, for inviting me. My name is Ismail Muhammad Noor. I'm the CEO of Bassinet. So Bassinet is an IT company here established in Malaysia since 2008. We've already been in operations for 11 years. We focus more on four sectors within IT, which are the integrations and development of systems, cybersecurity, infra services, and also analytics. So that would be our core services and solutions. But we are very proud of one of our solution, which is called Foreign Workers Centralized Management System, which has been implemented in Malaysia since 2013. FWCMS itself, in short, for Foreign Workers Centralized Management System, it's approved under the government of Malaysia with Ministry of Home Affairs. So our stakeholder is Ministry of Home Affairs. And the agency responsible is Immigration Malaysia.
Okay, so FWCMS is also known as MIGRAMS, right?
Right. When we started doing FWCMS, it was for Malaysia's case, we call it as FWCMS. That's because that's our proposal to the government. As you know, our platform is a holistic end-to-end system, and it is only one in the world. If you research everywhere in Google, you cannot find any solutions like us because we look at it from an end-to-end process. And that is where our strength whereby we have already implemented in other countries, in Maldives as well, and it is called MIGRAMS.
And how soon after Bassinet was created, did FWCMS come into play?
Actually, Bassinet was formed in 2008. But we started to propose FWCMS since 2003. And it goes through a lot of process, especially with the government. We have already proposed to the Prime Minister previously and the Home Ministry. We were vetted by the special branch. And when we actually just for your info, we presented also to ILO. And ILO says the proposal was very extensive, very comprehensive, and it would be facing a lot of challenges because when you talk about holistic meaning is the system is not just implemented in Malaysia, it also cross-border to other countries. Yeah, so that's where the challenges will come because you need to work with the source countries. We call it source countries or labor-sending countries, the 15 countries, where we will have to work with the authorities there. The Ministry of Home Affairs there, Ministry of Human Resources, Ministry of Health, and agencies, right? So when they said that is the challenge, we managed to actually did it. Yeah? In 2013, we started with a proof of concept. And when we went for the proof of concept for 2 years, in 2015, after we proved that FWCMS gives a lot of benefits to all the stakeholders, right? And government stated that it is mandatory for all migrant workers before coming into Malaysia must go through the system. Mm-hmm. We have about 20 plus modules within FWCMS itself. Okay, so we have already, during the POC, we implemented 3 modules, which does the medical screening. Okay, it's a system. Yeah, it's not the medical screening itself, but the system to monitor the screening, medical screening, the visa submission by employer here in Malaysia, and also permit renewal, the work permit renewal. So based on that, 2015, it goes mandatory, and until today, it is used by all the stakeholders.
So I understand it is an end-to-end recruitment system, but it also manages all the data of these foreign workers coming into the country, right?
It's just not about recruitment. It is a holistic management of migrant workers. Recruitment is only one part of the process. For your info, before migrant workers can be recruited in Malaysia, the employers here has to apply for permission from KDN. In Malaysia, we have five sectors: agriculture, plantation, services, manufacturing, and construction. Mm. So each sectors would have its own ministries and agencies responsible. And if you are in a manufacturing sector, you have to go to MITI to apply. Previously, this is a bit long, but I just go to brief. Once you have received an approval from the government to recruit, then you go for a recruitment process. Mm. It's just not recruitment. Yeah, and it is by law in the labor-sending countries, migrant or candidates must be recruited via an agent. They cannot just go in and then as individual. We are not like professionals, right? So they have to go through an agent, and this is by law in the countries itself. So we have stakeholders like recruitment agent using the system as well. So you can imagine now across the 20 modules, it has many, many stakeholders, agents, medical centers, government agencies in Malaysia, government agencies in the source country itself, immigration here in Malaysia, employers. Mm. Yeah. So we actually, one single system, link everybody in one single database. And for your info, we are not a recruitment agent. Yeah? We don't do recruitment at all. We provide the platform, the solution for the government.
Okay. So what was being done before FWCMS came into play? How has your cross-border tech solutions changed the way people deal, source and manage their migrant workers?
Very good question, Henry. Before this, before the system, as you know, the core system or the only system that is implemented is only the immigration system. Mm. Yeah, just for you yourself as a citizen, if you want to apply for a passport, you have to go to immigration, go through the counter, submit your form. Previously, you have to seek your picture, you have your IC. So you go through, and then you go and get a number. You have to wait until your number being called. Then you're being processed, right? Okay, before this, it was like that for submission of approval from immigration. You know, that's where the cost is. You have to have runners. You have to have also paper-based calls. Yeah? So now imagine now you have a system whereby everything is done online. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be at immigration to submit. Everything is done online. So you can, just for info also, what we have given the benefit from an efficiency point of view, previously calling visa. It's a visa before a workers arrive in Malaysia, submitted to immigration for approval. It takes about 1 to 3 months for an approval. Now, we manage, or we actually successfully done, same-day approval. Mm. That is where we eliminate a lot of manual entries, a lot of administrative works by immigration themselves, and manage to get an approval within the same day.
Okay. How many countries do you have on board with FWCMS? And is it just one way for foreign workers looking to come into Malaysia, or does it facilitate other countries to get workers to go into their countries as well?
Okay. In Malaysia, we have authorized 15 source countries. We have already implemented in 12. The other three countries like Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan, we didn't implement because there's none workers coming in from that country at all. Mm. Previously, yes, but now there's none. We have already implemented in 12 countries. India, you can go in from India side to Nepal, to Bangladesh, then to the ASEAN country itself. Yeah. From there, we have the cross-border, meaning the stakeholders like in the source countries, like recruitment agents, medical centers, are using the system. Because FWCMS is built and implemented for Malaysian government. Mm. So they have to follow the Malaysian government law. For your info also, we're looking at having an initiative whereby we are creating a new platform for the source countries to manage their candidates or their nationalities going out of the country. Mm. That's our next pivotal steps going outside of the Malaysia.
Does Bestinet collect any fees for using FWCMS? Are there any payments made through the platform, such as visa payments, medical test payments?
All right. Upon the successful implementation of the proof of concept in 2015, we were given the contract by the Malaysian government through Ministry of Home Affairs to collect only a service fee in the source country. Okay, it's very minimal. And as for your info, that one module that we implemented is only, the fees is collected only from that. In Malaysia, we have already implemented 14 modules. And 14 modules is used free by the employers and also by the government.
Right.
Because our business model is we implement under what we call as PPP, public-private initiative, and it is a user pay model. That means upon the users, meaning the registration in this case is registration of workers, they only after upon successful of the registration, then they only pay. If they don't go through the system, they don't have to pay anything. And employer here in Malaysia gets all the benefits without paying a cent. So that's the only fees we are allowed to collect.
What about SMEs? Can SMEs use FWCMS to source and hire foreign workers as well?
You know, we have also now SMEs using the system. Okay, when you say source, we don't do sourcing.
Mm.
Okay, when an SME wants to recruit a foreign worker, they have to go through the process, the government process, right? Apply for permission to recruit, have the agents in the source countries to recruit, then have the worker to be applied for a visa, and you know, a lot of the process. We only provide the system. That's where maybe the confusion comes in. As I said, we are not a recruitment agent. Yeah, we don't do any resourcing part. Yeah, so that we only use it, you know, we are only providing the system.
When we come back, CEO of Bestinet, Ismail Mohamed Noor, sets the record straight about just how much Bestinet makes, who owns the company, and what happened in Nepal last year. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Begin Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Audrey Raj. CEO of cross-border migration solutions provider Bestinet, Ismail Mohamed Noor, is with me, and we're about to start unearthing some tough questions about the company's past, starting with just how much Bestinet makes with every foreign worker it successfully brings into the country.
Right. The government allows us only to collect 100 ringgit per worker upon successful of registration. One module that we implement in the source country at the medical center. For your info before, workers will need to go to medical center, even though we don't have a system there. The process is that they have to go through a medical screening in the source country before they arrive. This is to make sure that the workers are suitable or fit before they arrive in Malaysia, because we don't want them to bring in diseases, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the screening is done in the source country. Now, when we implement the one module called biomedical, we have two elements there, which are the security features and also the health features. Security is where we capture the biometrics, meaning facial and fingerprint and passport info, and then we send it online real-time. Yeah? This is online real-time. Workers doesn't have to wait. In 3 minutes, you get the response already. This real-time online given to immigration to do the checking. Immigration will just do yes or just give us a response, yes or no. We don't know what the reason they're being blocked, right? So given that response, then only the workers goes for medical screening. For the fees collection, we only collect if the workers is eligible. If let's say they have blacklist, they're not eligible to come, we don't collect a cent.
Mm.
That means they have used the system, the services, we don't charge them. Okay, so after that, they go for medical screening, and our medical centers where we implement the system, yeah, the module, we accredit them. Accredit meaning we do audits proper, because we want to have a proper established clinics and with the Ministry of Health standards. They have to follow our standards.
Mm.
Previously, as you know, they don't know the standards of Malaysia, right? One simple example is X-ray. If you're a radiologist, okay, people who can read X-ray is radiologists, right? So if you're a radiologist in Indonesia and I'm a radiologist in Malaysia, do you know my standards?
Mm-mm.
You wouldn't know, right, for medical screening, right? So that is where our part and our commitment is to educate them. What is Malaysian standard? We give them our SOPs. They have to follow. And we do performance management. We do audits yearly. We do random audits, right? And we continuously have to educate them, so that they know what is the latest one, right? So the reason being is The objective is to make sure that workers, when they arrive here, are fully fit. Right? Because they have to go through the FOMEMA. As you know, FOMEMA, they have to go to FOMEMA screening also in Malaysia upon arrival. And we want to eliminate, we want to reduce the causes of the unfit cases in Malaysia. Because when they arrive here, one is for the health, public health, right? If a person has tuberculosis, right? And they arrive here, definitely they have spent a lot of money in their country. They make loans, they sell their lands, right? So when they arrive, it's already too late. Definitely, they wouldn't want to go back because they have to pay the debts, all right? So then they would definitely they would run away or goes to a new employers. And employers also, when workers is unfit, they have to send them back.
Yeah.
You can imagine the cost of bringing on the workers and then get a replacement. So what our objective is to make sure they fail there in their country.
They don't come here and fail, lah.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
Okay. How much do we rely on the services of foreign workers? Do you have a number for us?
Okay, just from statistic point of view, yeah. In the beginning, from the government, we have about 2 million migrant workers. Now it is reducing. The numbers is about 1.7, 1.8 million, yeah. Documented workers, yeah. As you know, also, there was statistics saying that it's one to one, meaning one documented and one undocumented.
Mm.
There's a lot of public news, right? So that means we have about 3 million documented and undocumented. The reliance on migrant workers, definitely we have to have, Malaysia at this point in time still is a labor-intensive country. We are a commoditized country. We still rely on labor-intensive industries, right? Especially on the plantation and agriculture sectors, whereby the technology is a bit far off yet to be implemented in Malaysia. The reliance is still there. Yeah, the government has already proposed a few initiatives also, and the government would increase a multi-tier, what they call it, multi-tier levy. Levy is where you have to pay a certain fees to the government so that easy to recruit migrant workers. Because if let's say the levy is high, then you always focus on local first,
yeah,
right, to get local to work, but. In reality, on the ground, not a lot of locals would want to work in plantation sector, agriculture sector, even manufacturing, yeah, even services also, right? So the fact is that we still reliant, but we can still reduce it a bit more. But 1.7 at this point in time is quite a good number. Yeah? But previously, we have 2.3, 2.5. Now it's a bit reducing.
So, in the last year or so, since the 14th general elections and the dawn of Malaysia Baharu, Bassinet has been in the news for not the reasons you would like, I imagine. There was talk of Bassinet belonging to or having links to our former Deputy Prime Minister, Datuk Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi's family. His brother-in-law and brother were said to be shareholders. So, maybe you can clear the air.
Yeah.
Who owns Bassinet and has anyone involved in UMNO ever had a connection to Bassinet?
Okay, yes, there's a lot of accusations and allegations. Yeah, I'm going to state the fact is that Bassinet does not have any links to any political parties, does not have any links to Zahid Hamidi or his family. We work with the government of the day because, as you know, we are contracted by the government of Malaysia, not by any individuals. Yeah? Bassinet is owned by a few major shareholders. And we have one shareholder, which is the biggest shareholder, which is a company, and doesn't have any links to anybody, even the company. We have also individual shareholders, which are public information. You can check it out. Yeah, and as you know, FWSMS, it's our initiative, and we are very passionate about doing this. At the end of the day, business is business, but to me, if you ask me personally. I want to save humanity because we know migrant workers at the end of the day are the one who gets all the flak, right?
Yeah.
They are at the end of the chain, right? So they are the one who needs the protection. And we believe, Bassinet, believe that FWSMS is the only way of doing it. Because if you do it still manually, previously there's a lot of abuses and leakages and corruptions.
Mm.
And there's a when you have also a lot of face-to-face interaction, right? Going to counters or going to local agents, you have a lot of corruption and leakages, yeah? And by doing this system, we have proved it. We have proved it, and it is recognized by the UN. Yeah? Because, as you know, we won the World Summit Award 2017. Which recognized us as best of the e-government and citizens engagement award, and the WSA award actually is under the UN framework, the number 18 of UN SDG sustainable development goals, yeah, whereby it protects migrants, part of it, yeah. So that is where our passion is.
So I can imagine, you know, if you're striving to help humanity, it must have been difficult to hear more allegations. I think there was this one article by the Nepali Times that caught our attention on social media. I think it claimed that Bestinet collected fees from foreign workers during their migration process. I know Bestinet denied those allegations as well. But is there a reason why these allegations surfaced in the first place?
Okay. Just a bit of background about the allegations, yeah. The allegations comes about when there was Nepali Times in 2018, July 2018, saying that because there's the change of government in Malaysia, and also there was a change of government in Nepal.
Mm.
During that time, when there was a change of government, and the report comes in about kleptocrats of Kathmandu and Kuala Lumpur, it's very general, right? So in that allegation as well, they implicated Bestinet because, as you know, from one of our press conference, we refuted the allegations, saying that Bestinet is only one of many service providers in Nepal. And all these service providers are contracted by the government of Malaysia because it is based on Malaysia's law before a migrant workers comes to Malaysia, right? So we did a press conference. We refuted the allegations. And in Nepal, we only do medical screening, system for the medical screening, and working with the government-recognized medical centers in Nepal. So when we did that press conference, the government of Nepal actually also brought the parties in Nepal, right, to court. And in December 2018, the Nepali government lost the court case, yeah, and saying that whatever that we have implemented in Nepal through the medical center there is legal. It is legal, right, because it is based on the Malaysian law. And then in 2019, the government of Nepal brought over also the same case to the High Court of Nepal. Mm. And they lost again.
Mm.
Now, that means, yeah, that means what we are doing is legal by the eyes of law in Nepal itself. Yeah? So whatever that allegations to us is all false.
It's a complicated process, but do you think some of this stems from a lack of understanding in the steps or the procedures necessary in bringing in foreign workers?
Definitely, yes. Because this industry or this migrant workers management is very complex. It has many stakeholders, right? Unscrupulous, you know, principle-centered stakeholders. You know, you have also unscrupulous people, which actually has already made a lot of money within the process, yeah. When we want to implement something that is very good, yeah, something that is very transparent, very efficient, definitely people who are very unscrupulous before will feel threatened, right? And with the system, we already prove it, and we have already make the it's more transparent, yeah, and very efficient. So definitely, people who feel lost within the process will fight against it, nah?
What would you say is the biggest challenge in dealing with allegations and false accusations like this? Has any of it impacted the company's bottom line?
Definitely.
Yes.
Especially now when the government of Nepal does not give any clearance. Yeah, because as I said before, our collection is based on registration. With the allowed fees for us to collect, is only to cover the operations. You can imagine now, in an IT, you have to have people to run this, you have to have infrastructure, yeah, and you have people to actually enhance and develop, right? So when the government of Nepal stops the clearance of their nationals to go out to Malaysia, right, definitely it will impact the bottom line. And also, the government of Malaysia already suspended the Bangladesh. Remember the Bangladesh recruitment as well. So it is also impacting us. And now we only have about 10 countries whereby workers coming into Malaysia. We are still committed in this. We want to continue until the end of the contract. It's up to the government on how to look at our performance. If you talk to any of the immigration people who runs the system, the employers, the agents here in Malaysia, from our gathered feedback, they really like the system. They want the system to continue. And the government also has one time, what Yamak Boromatun already also stated that the government requires a single system to manage all. Because with a single system, then you can have a holistic view, right? Upstream and downstream, right? So this is, you don't have to look anywhere in the world anymore because the system is already implemented in Malaysia, developed by Malaysian for Malaysian.
And just before we go, Ismail, moving forward, what are the plans for Bestinet and for FWCMS over the next few years? You mentioned earlier that you're already working on a pivoting to a new platform. Yeah. What else?
Okay, definitely we would continue the contract for FWCMS. We have a 6-year contract with the government until 2021. It depends on the government either to... Because the end of the contract, the government has the options of taking over the system. Either giving it to any other operators or still allows us to operate. When the contract was drafted, it is operated by us and maintain and support. Yeah, it is not operated, meaning we don't do the transactions. It's all the stakeholders, right? So it is up to the government to continue with us, if I say, until 2021 or after 2021. As I said, also, we have another platform whereby we are looking at having it to promote it to other countries. This is labor-sending countries going outside of their country. So that means the whole world is their market, right? Mm. Okay. For FWCMS itself, as we branded it out as migrants in other countries, for labor-receiving countries, we have already made our footprint in Qatar, Middle East countries, whereby they have the same... Maybe problems of Malaysia having a lot of illegals, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they want to have a holistic management also from the source country itself. Because as you know, they only manage internally, but they don't manage externally. So they want to have an extension of that from the source country itself.
I've been speaking with Ismail Mohamed Noor, CEO of Bestinet. If you missed out on any part of this show, the podcast should be available on our website, bfm.my, in just a few minutes, also on the BFM app and on Spotify as well. My name is Audrey Raj. This has been Open for Business on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.